Today's daf is daf Pei Zayin,
which of course is the great erech of Torah, is even more valuable than fine gold, so we can remember Pei Zayin. Certainly more valuable than Yayin Veshemen, which is what our Halakhic Mishnah is about. We got all the way up to the Mishnah, middle of the daf, HaMocher Yayin Veshemen L'Chaveiro. So actually, as we very often find, the previous sugya of the Gemara was something of an introduction to what we're going to have in this Mishnah, because we had, as one of the four qualities of Midas B'Meichrim, we had a case where somebody is buying, where there's someone in the middle. There's a broker in the middle who acts almost as an agent, but not on behalf of both people, but rather as an escrow agent who takes risks himself. Now, in this Mishnah, we're going to see more of that, but it's going to take us a few moments until we figure out that that's what the Mishnah is talking about. But without understanding it that way, we're going to have some very confusing halacha, because the Mishnah makes a sale dependent on whether something was filled up to the top or wasn't filled up to the top. We, of course, know already from our favorite Braita that that only comes into play when the kli belongs to someone who gives it either to the bocher or the lokeach, as the case is needed. And therefore, he will determine who the owner of the kli is in order to be kinyan b'rishus, based on whether the preliminaries to the sales are completed. But at the onset, the Mishnah appears rather confusing. So, mocher yayin v'shemen l'chaveiro. We're talking about now, you're selling a liquid, and the liquid needs to be poured into the container which he's going to take it home with, which was the standard way of buying. Hukru, osho huzlu. Now the price, there was a variation in the price. So imacha, obviously it doesn't really have anything to do with variations in the price, just we're using that as an example for why someone would want to change their mind. So in the case where imacha lo nitmale tamida, if it hadn't been filled up yet with the amount of the order, so someone ordered a liter of oil, and you're still holding at the 820 milliliters here, milliliters. So then you're indeed able to change your mind because the sale wasn't completed. So whatever value or whatever loss accrues to the mocher. So it goes to the mocher. Mishin et malet. I mean, however, once it's filled now to the top of the liter, so then any changes, losses, whether it's beneficial or not, go to the lokeach. It doesn't make any sense at all, unless, of course, we're talking about some strange situation where the ownership decree changes. V'im hayasir sarsurbenim. However, if you have the sarsur, so it seems only at this point that it's introducing the sarsur, which makes it even more complicated, because the sarsur is basically the broker, and he is the guy that, the only way we understood the first part of the Mishnah was that it was talking about a sarsur. You can see why this is an additional complication. So if there is now a broker, now a sarsur is really more than a broker in the modern sense, because a sarsur is really an interesting kind of guy. Normally we have a supplier. Now the supplier is going to buy at wholesale, and he's going to sell. There is an additional level at which he buys from the wholesaler. The chenvani himself doesn't buy from the wholesaler, he buys from a supplier. So this guy buys a lot, he goes around with a truck, and he delivers it to various places. If there's a sarsur, so the Mishnah tells us that actually the sarsur represents a separate layer of business. He's not a broker. And therefore, if now something was put into the container of the sarsur and it breaks, that's his problem. So nishbrach avid nishbrach sarsur, because he isn't acting as an agent, which you might have thought, that he's just a broker, and he's actually taking delivery and making delivery, in which case it's fully in his rishus in the interim.
The mocher, seller.
No, there's a mocher is the chenven, he doesn't sell to people. He comes into a store. Now he's providing, but it seems to be talking about over here, he's providing the large container. And this is being poured now into, or he's going to sell the whole thing, the guy's going to walk off, as often happens in the makolot. This is what it looks like. And we're using his container. So long as it's in his container, it doesn't belong to the chedveni, and it doesn't belong to the buyer. It's still him, and he's gonna take the loss, even though you'd say, well, I was only making deliveries from the bakery to the store. I'm not taking deliveries for myself. That's not true. It's actually, he's considered to be a middleman, not just a broker. Furthermore, v'chayav lahatiflo shalosh tipin. He has to drop an additional three. This is going back now. You're being mocher yayin v'shemen. So if you're being mocher yayin v'shemen, then you're going to have to go and let three drops of the liquid that you're selling continue to drip out, even though you've already poured out the bottle. Because basically, the person has ordered a liter of oil. You filled a liter of oil. but there's always a little bit that's going to be stuck back in the container with surface tension. So what happens now to that bit? We know that when we turn the bottle upside down, 5 minutes later, there will be a significant amount of liquid on the bottom. If the buyer bought that liquid, then the chenveni is stealing it. So how do we get around that problem? So the shiur that the Chachamim gave takes into consideration, as we'll see, the expectations in terms of the time on the part of the buyer and seller. How much are they willing to wait? It takes time for liquid to drip. So therefore, we come to an arrangement in which, if you allow, after you pour something out, whatever the nature of the liquid is, to drip three times into the container of the buyer, the rest belongs to the seller. And the Gemara is going to explain how that, what's the mechanism for that. Hirkina, you turn the bottle now back so that it's top up. Umitzit, and now 5 minutes later, there's significant liquid on the bottom. Harei shel mocher, that liquid belongs now to the seller. So next time he fills up the liter of oil, he really doesn't have to fill an entire liter of oil. So he's making some money out of this. Whereas a chenvani, now, as if this is dafka in a case where we're not talking about a guy who's sitting with a cash register in his store. You're mocher yayin b'shem lechavero. If you've got a cash register, that means you've got people waiting in line. That's all we need. It's bad enough now when they can't even get the laser in the right location to read the barcode. Can you imagine if they have to sit there and drip out? No. I mean, we might as well give up on the waiting in line. So because of that, they were not b'chayev v'chenvani to drip out shalosh tipim. And the buyer understands in such cases that it's just not worth the time. So that in the end, he's rewarded with a lower price anyway, because, of course, all of this ends up being taken into consideration, the checkout count. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, because Rabbi Yehuda says, Erev Shabbat im chashecha patur. You're potter on Erev Shabbos. Now, that is not clear what we're talking about. The chenveni is potter only on Erev Shabbos, therefore Rabbi Yehuda is being machmer? Or is he saying even hamocher yayin v'shem lechavero as an individual is potter? It's too close to Shabbos. I don't have time now to sit around here playing games with you, squeezing bottles. In which case, Rabbi Yehuda would be maker. If he's saying the chenveni can only rely on this heter of Shabbos, he's being machmir. Because he said, okay, I understand. There's a time in which there's really a lot of pressure in the store, because obviously the only time as makolot is filled is 5 minutes before Shabbos, when everybody remembers what they didn't buy. But before that, it's not that much pressure. You know, let people wait in line a little bit. Says the Gemara, now the Mishnah on the surface makes no sense at all. I mean, who does the container belong to? Hamida deman. I mean, we've just had a whole discussion. Kalev shel lokeach, kalev shel meicher. Obviously, if you're selling it, we said if you told a guy you could be kena, so then you allow him his kli, even a place. Very nice. But who owned the container? I mean, if it's the mida de lokeach, that goes against what we said before in our favorite braita. We said if it's the mida de lokeach, your kena, whatever goes in to the container. So then, ad shaloni dalet mida. How is that possible? Midah lokeachi. We said that it does. Why should it belong to the mocher as long as it's not filled? The tzed beferish, whatever comes in as it fills up, belongs to the lokeach. If you're going to tell me, well, it must be that talking about the midah of the mocher, so how all of a sudden did it get to be the lokeach? Just because it was filled, the mocher wants to change his mind, decided not to be maknet. So how did it become the lokeach? Midah the mocherhi. No matter how you read this mission, it makes no sense. Omer Rabbi Lutz talking about the midah that belongs to the sarsur, and that is the lushan, again, of our favorite braita, which talks about that if the kalim is in the shus of the people that make it happen, so then brishut hala hamufkadim etzlo. So this is a case of brishut hala hamufkadim etzlo. So in other words, the guy is presenting his kalim to be used by the seller so long as the seller is measuring it. And at the time that it's concluded, he's giving it to the lokeach. And here at last, we find a Mishnah that gives word to the words of the braita that we saw before. We didn't see it before in the Mishnah. This is where it appears. See, how is that possible? The sarsur is introduced only in the seifa. V'amiriktani seifa. V'ima ya sarsur b'nehem. Nishbara chavit nishbara the sarsur. So the Mishnah says, assuming that you had a middleman, so then he acts as an independent businessman, introducing yet another layer of loss to the consumer. But because of that, he's taking the risks until there's actual delivery. So it's going to be his loss. But in any event, it's clear that up until this time, we were not talking about having anybody else that was involved. So Miklal Dereisha, Lav B'Sarsur Askinan. Says Rabbi Lana, you missed the point. That's not true. There's two different levels over here. There is a broker, and there is a sarsur as middleman. The fact is that if the sarsur is not present, he will often act as a middleman. He's not making the delivery. He's not now the supplier, which is the other meaning of the sort. So this is a guy who gets people together and provides them the mechanism by which they can do business. He may get a kickback. A kickback is not the same thing as buying, you see. It's not that he buys and sells. So what he does is he will give you a kli. He'll say, look, you know, I brought you some clients. He's got his name on the thing, you know, with his telephone number. And anybody who sees it remembers next time he wants to order some oil, he should call this guy. But he doesn't make any money directly on buying and selling. So what he's doing, he's facilitating the transaction.
A broker.
So Sarsour can be either an agent, a broker, a middleman. So we're using it in different ways. If we're talking about Amida, then if we're talking about Amida and the guy isn't there, believe me, he ain't no middleman. Right? And otherwise, he'd be sitting over there and make sure he gets his cut and son is his. So in this case, in the Reisha, it's talking about it's the Mida of the Sarsour. That's the point. So Reisha is the Mida below Sarsour. If it's the Mida, so in Achinami, it's understood. I leave this in the store for the buyer to get his oil in. And I leave it in the store for the chenveni to measure the oil out while it's in his rishus. The moment it becomes filled, now I want it to go to the buyer. So therefore, it belongs to the mocher and the lokeach exactly as the Braita stated. But the seifa is talking about where there's an actual presence of the sarsur who's making delivery and taking delivery. And in that case, it's his loss. But that's not the mida of the sarsur we're talking about in the reisha. Then we said here, kino mitzit. If you turn the bottle now right side up again, and then all of the drip goes down to the bottom, and now there seems to be some significant liquid at the bottom. Nonetheless, it belongs to the seller, because he had let those original three drops drop out. Now, when Rabbi Elazar went up to Eretz Yisrael, Kisalik Rabbi Elazar, Ashkechel Zeire, he finds Zeire and asks him, Mikantana, Dehatnaye Rav Midot. Who is that? Is there somebody around here that Rav taught this Mishnah about Midot? Now, Lamaisa, there was another Girsa here in which it said, who taught Rav Midot? Which the Rashbam says, well, that can't be, because Rav Yitzchak Bar Avigdimi was a Talmud of Rav. And we're going to see this all about Rav Yitzchak Bar Avigdimi. However, his Tosfos proves conclusively there were two Rav Yitzchak Bar Avigdimis. One of whom used to be at the time of Rebbe bringing in his Kelim LeBeit HaMerchatz, was obviously a close Talmud of Rebbe, who was indeed a teacher of Rav. One was a Talmud of Rav, and may be talking about Rav Yitzchak Bar Avigdimi if we keep the other Girsa, indeed, who taught Rav, like we find in the Gemara in Chulin. In any event, Zeiri points to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avigdimi. Omar Leis, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avigdimi goes over to him. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Avigdimi says, what's your problem? Why are you looking for someone who knows Rav's teachings on Midas? Micah Kashalacha. So Rabbi Elazar told him, I do not understand the Mishnah. It says, Hirkino Mitzitar Yeshal Mocher. What you're saying is that things that are left inside of the container are clearly not meant to have been included in the transaction, because otherwise, how could the seller steal what's left in the container just because it was left behind the surface tension? He can't be a ganav. So how is that fit with the following Mishnah, which in terms of the dinim of truma says exactly the opposites? V'atnan, there it's talking about somebody pouring truma from one barrel to another. It says there here, kida umitza. Exactly the same language it says over here. You put the barrel right side up, and now all of the liquid that was attached to the sides gradually finds its way down, being attracted more by gravity than by the surface tension. And now we wonder, does that mean that was what was left at the bottom of the barrel was not included in the original truma? No. This is called scraping the barrel in English, or bottom of the barrel in English. It's obviously is an issue that was always part of buying and selling problems because of the fact that people didn't buy in a container. You brought a container and it was filled. You were buying it from a container of the other guy. It was measured by the guy who's selling your container. So what happens when you get to the bottom of the barrel, so to speak? So here it says that what's left in the barrel after it was all poured out is still truma. So that means that it was included in the transaction. And here you're saying it's not included in the transaction. Oh, Marley, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah does not mean it wasn't included in the transaction. It was. So you'll say, so then he's a ganav? No. Because here, Ayitmar Allah, as Rabbi Abahu explained, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Yush Baalim Nagu'uba. The point is, nobody is ready to stand in line for too long. So you get to the point at which the guy throws up and says, like, the heck with it, just keep it. So in order to avoid that situation where you're sitting there for 10 minutes, trip, you know. So we made up front, takana, three drops. Beyond that, any normal human being does not find it worth his while to sit around waiting for it to drip out. And therefore, he's miyayish. In other words, essentially, it's hefker. But truma doesn't help to make it hefker. Once it's truma, it's always truma. You can make it hefker, but it's still usher. Therefore, what's left behind is truma. So now it's very clear how this works. We don't need to get around an isser. Because here we're talking about hefker. Vach. Yes, sir.
Pittsburgh, where's everybody Heinz ketchup? So there was a restaurant that had a special behind to hold the bottles Heinz ketchup. That's the last drippy bottle, even the cap worth, because it was constantly upside down Heinz ketchup, the slow ketchup.
I see. Okay, but I mean, Osim has solved that problem by keeping the bottle upside down all the time.
Heinz does it
too. I didn't like that. So they caught on. Excellent. V'achen v'ni continues the Mishnah, eino chayav la'ativ. Achen v'ni, however, as opposed to a private individual, doesn't have to drip. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Erev Shabbos im chashecha eino chayav. Now, it's not clear. Was Rabbi Yehuda going back to the Reisha? And he was saying, nobody is chayav to drip if it's Erev Shabbos samach l'chashecha. So he's coming now to be mekel. The Chachomim are only mekel on achen v'ni, but of course, all the time. Says Rabbi Yehuda, well, you need to understand that everybody, even a private individual, is the equivalent of achen v'ni when it's 5 minutes before lichmanj, you know. So because of that, they extended this tour even to a regular person. So he's big mekel. So Aresha koiva l'kula, or Dilma asefa koiva l'chumra. Maybe what Rabbi Yehuda was talking about was the same case that the Chachamim were talking about. You're saying a chenveni is always under too much pressure. I'm saying that's not true. Chenveni is only under pressure at that time in the week when everybody's in the store, which is 5 minutes before Shabbos, of course. And therefore, that's the time that we let him off, but no other time. In which case he would be machmer. Oh, Dilma sefer koyva lechumra. Toshma, we could see that from a brayta. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Erev Shabbat im chashecha, achen v'ni patur, mipnei shechen v'ni tarud. So here in the brayta, Rabbi Yehuda explains himself absolutely, unequivocally, very clearly. We're talking about the achen v'ni, and the achen v'ni himself is only potur right before Shabbos, and so clearly he was coming to be machmir, not to be mekel. And now our president has been locked back. Hasholeach et beno itzela chenvani upunyan biyado. Now, the punyan biyado did not appear in the original mission. However, it was so taken for granted that that was the norm, because what used most of the coins at the time were punyones, and it was difficult to get a half a punyan in change. People walk around with punyans. The reason, if you want to know what a punyan does not look like, here it is. So, it doesn't say in God we trust. All right. So the Rajabam brings that people misunderstood the Mishnah because of that. So they ended up putting it in here in parentheses, but it's definitely what the Mishnah means. And he says this was Rashi. He found this in Rashi as well. In any event, he is talking about a case here. Somebody gives a coin to his son and sends him to the local store. And the storekeeper measures him out a half a punyan, which is an iser worth of oil, gives him his change in an iser, a half a punyan. And on the way home, of course, the kid butts the bottle, loses the iser, and pours out the oil and go by. Well, believe it or not, it's the storekeeper who's responsible, say the Chachamim. Achen v'ni chayav. Rabbi Yehuda poter, shamanat ken sholcho. So I understand. If people are dumb enough to send their little kid to buy oil, so then obviously they're taking the risks of having the change lost on the way home and the bottle broken on the way home. And what's it got to do with the chenveni? Well, we'll see in the Gemara. Umodim chachamim l'Rabbi Yehuda. Now the chachamim are made into Rabbi Yehuda in a case where the tzluchit was in the hands of the tinuk. And now the chenveni never actually handled the tzluchit. The kid walked in with a bottle. The chenveni merely measures into the bottle. That in that case, the chenveni is potter, because over there, it seems to be pretty clear, I mean, only referring to the bottle, but bottle is none of my business. You sent the bottle with your kid. I never touched the bottle, and therefore, it's your responsibility. Now, this is going to be clearly here as a key to working out what happened in the other cases, correct? Yeah, so let's see. So Bishleim, it says the Gemara, now hold on a minute. The first two issues, the change and the oil, I can understand, because I could have said like this, that as far as the Isser and the Shemen is concerned, we're arguing about the following. The Rabbanan hold, when somebody sends that kind of thing to the store, what he's really doing is telling the storekeeper, I need a liter of oil, please have it delivered. Since, however, paper is not only scarce, but non-existent, and since kids' minds are not very trustworthy, so he gives the kid the order by giving him the punyan, which is understood. That's what he wants him to deliver. Okay? The storekeeper, however, should have called his delivery boy and sent it. Instead, the storekeeper was shorthanded, and the storekeeper took the risk of sending it back with the kid. So that the norm is, according to the Rabbanan, the norm is that people do not send their child to bring things, they send their child to order things. The Chenveni took advantage of the situation by reading in that he had a right to give it to the kid, but he didn't. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Sarva L'Shidur L'Shadre, Rabbi Yehuda says he had every right to assume that if this is what appears in front of his counter as he leans over and watches what's there, then if a hand appears over the counter holding a punyan, he has a right to put the bottle of oil in the same hand with the punyan and the change in the hand that holds the punyan. Fine. But that really throws now the whole thing off because it's Tzeluchit, okay? If the Tzeluchit was sent with the kid, then that's an Aveda Midat. I mean, I don't care how you read the message, but certainly in this case, the media being the message is now broken. So what right has nothing to do with the Chenveni? So if there was a Tzeluchit that was broken, so then that stam, an Aveda Midat, it should never, the moment that you handed a breakable object into the hands of a little kid, he's being mafkaret. So, I mean, if that's the case, so, I mean, when it comes to the punyan, you could say, okay, is it the punyan also an aveda midas? Yes, but you took the punyan. That's your responsibility. But I don't get the business about the tzeluchit. Omra voshaya, I'll tell you. It's talking about over here, obviously an additional complication. So it must be that the kid's father is a bottle manufacturer. That's the only way to understand it. See? And he's selling bottles. Fine. So now he sent the bottle as a sample to the chenveni. It's a great opportunity. I'll never get him to look at my samples if I give it to him, bye-bye. So what I'll do is I'll send it with little Joe, and he'll give it to him, and then the guy will look at it. This is an interesting bottle. What do these run? Okay. So he's looking over the bottle now in order to buy it. And then if we hold like Shmuel, get a Shmuel, the Omar Shmuel ha-notel kli min ha-oman, al-menat le-vakro v'ne-nas b'yado chayav, so everything works out fine. Shmuel says, if you take something and then you break it, you broke it, you bought it. So you were looking at something, you didn't decide to buy it, but you're examining it to see whether you're going to buy it. If it breaks, it's your responsibility. So over here, basically, the Chenveni is looking at the Tzluchit. Okay. At that moment, he has to send it back. He can't say, since you send it with your kid, I can send it. No, wait a minute. Once you took it, now you're responsible. You're trying to get out, I can take my risks, you can take yours. Are you saying that, well, now that you're responsible, you have a right to rely on me? Because I'm a drunk driver, so you're a drunk driver. So I should be chayev because of the fact that you decided to drive drunk? You're crazy. Send it back with my kids. You say, but you're crazy too. Okay, so what does that prove? So basically, you haven't given it back. If you haven't given it back and it's broken, and you never sent it with the proper shliach, it's your responsibility. So then the last piece of the Mishnah would just be coming to make that clear, that Shmuel is correct. Yeah, but then the problem is that Shmuel would be now a machlokas tanoim. What we're saying over here is that the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda is the question about Shmuel, correct? That's what you're saying over here. So if you gave it back into the hands of the Tinok, so now that's like basically you broke it, and you're not going to be putter. And if you hold that you would be putter, so then the machlokas then would have to be a machlokas about the veracity of Shmuel's sack over here. Oh, that's a little crazy. I mean, how would Shmuel have said a statement that's a machlokas tanoi? I mean, this is a new paskin, like whatever tanner, whatever. You don't come up with a statement? So you're telling me that Shmuel is a machlokas tanoim? Doesn't make sense. Ela Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef have a different approach. They say on the contrary. We're talking about a chenvani who is mocher tzluchiot askina. The question over here is that it's the chenvani now. The Mishnah is referring to a storekeeper who wants to actually sell the tzluchi. Which means that this is, to us, this is very simple, because this is what happens every time you sell a kid, send a kid to the store. Remember, in those days, that's not what happened. But what happened over here is a modern interrelationship. I send a kid to the store to buy a liter of oil. He comes back not only with a liter of oil, but with a bottle that holds the liter of oil. That's not the norm. But in a case where the Chenveni indeed sells in bottles, because he's a bottle seller as well, so now it's an extension of the same machlokas. So he understood that this was an order for one of Matt's famous glass enclosed liters of oil instead of the kind that just drips all over you.
Because so he didn't put it in a bottle.
What's that? He didn't put it in a bottle? And then he only sells it to kids from Hogwarts. It's a real problem. Or kids that bring their own bottle, obviously, which is the normal way to buy, which is what we thought would happen. He would brought the bottle. We understood all along that the kid had brought the bottle, right? So the kid had brought the bottle. So we said, so then the moment the father gave the kid the bottle, now it's Hefker. It's Aveda Mitas. So we didn't understand what happened. Then we said, no, it's talking about over here that he's actually a bottle manufacturer. So when he sends the bottle with the kid, the Chenveni looks at it to decide whether he's going to buy more of these bottles. That's the question. In which case, now according to Shmuel, he would take responsibility for getting the bottle back. Problem is that then it would be a machlokas tanoim, Shmuel's psak. So which you're looking for another alternative. The alternative is that the Chenveni is the guy who's selling the bottles. So therefore, he took the order as an order for his oil, glass enclosed oil, a remarkable new invention.
Maybe
he's going to be selling a bottle of oil. Yes. That's the machloka. Whether that was your intent. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that wasn't your intent. The Chachamim say, yes, that was your intent. He wanted to send it back with his kids. It's going to be in his own cognizance. I expect you to be a responsible Chenveni and get me the stuff. Now, obviously, I understand that a Chenveni will make this mistake, possibly, but it's on his own cognizance. I never accepted upon myself more than the order. Okay, so then we would understand why this would be the same machlokas as Rabbi Yehuda Taimei. And Rabbanu Taimei, everything would make sense, right? Says the Gemara, no, it would not make sense. Because again, the difficult key in the Mishnah is that last line. The last line still doesn't make sense. And that's what's going to give us all of our heartache until we figure out what this Mishnah is talking about. Ihochi Ema Seifa. How do you make sense of the words? Modim Chachamim L'Rebbe Yehuda Bizman Shatzluchit B'yad HaTinok U'madat Chenveni L'Tocha Shachenveni Patur. Now, how do you explain this? You just said that he took it to mean, I'm ordering one of Mac's glass enclosed oils. So then I don't get it. So then why in the world would the, if he was the one that was giving the glass, so what is that supposed to mean? Shachenveni patur. Amrit lo duye shadre. I thought you said that you understood the machlokas to be l'shitata, which means that it was only a din of your cognizance, right? So what do you mean, meidim? Why would they be meidim? In what sense are they being made in? There's no difference between this case and the other case. If it was now, who cares whether he picked it up? He didn't pick it up. Ela Abaya Barovin, Rebbe Chanina Barovin, the Amrei Tarvayu. What happened over here was, Hachabamayaskina. What we're going to have to be talking about, forget about this whole business of bottle sellers and all of that. That's crazy. Let's go back to understanding things being normally. So what we have over here is somebody bringing a bottle. The problem is that it wasn't just a bottle. It was actually a bottle with gradations in it. So it was the equivalent of the hin that we're talking about before. It was a measuring cup. So he said, measure into this cup. So the Chenveni went ahead now, using the kid's bottle as the actual measuring cup. Now that wasn't the deal, right? At that moment that he takes it, in order to be lambudba, so now he's taking it for himself. Because the moment, so you'll say, okay, but the father sent it. If a father sent it, so then I'm not responsible. The father himself indicated he's not responsible. But once you took it, you became responsible, even though you wouldn't have been responsible in terms of the din of Aveda. How is that? We have a very similar case. You are a zaken, and it's not lefichvotcha to be walking through the streets dragging somebody's goat. So you walk down the street, and here's this goat, which you don't like following you. So now you should have to get it back to him. But you're a zaken, v'enel fichvodo. So what do? You take your cane, and you hit the goat on its rear end, and the goat runs away. Once you hit the goat, you're now responsible to return it, because now basically you made it move. So in this case, where the Chenveni picks up the kli from the tinok to measure it, so now he becomes the equivalent of the zaken, who is chayev in the aveda, even though normally it wouldn't have been chayav and aveda. You shouldn't have made that move. You should have just left it alone. So since he took it in that case, then in Achinami we're made of that he takes responsibility on it. So here the shaila is like this, get a rabbi. The Amar Rabba Yikisha, once the Zaken now hits the goat with his stick, then the Zaken becomes Chayev, even though in terms of the Dinim of Hashavas Aveda, he was Potter because the Zaken had a Fik Veda. Therefore, in this case, you would become Chayev, even though, in this case, you really would have been Potter because Aveda made that. That's not a good explanation. Rabba says that, because when you hit the goat, you also cause it to run away so that it becomes even a bigger Aveda. How do you know that that's true just because you pick up an Aveda? In other words, I understand that I'm not Bechuyev because I'm a Zaken. So I'm not taking responsibility for it. I'm Bechuyev to take responsibility whether I did touch it, I didn't touch it. That's not the issue. But obviously, if I now cause it to become lost, so when I hit it, it now is going to go even further away. Its feet will take it, bariyata. It's going to go into the forest. It'll run away. So, of course, over there, I'm chayev. But ki hai gavna, what are you going to say that in this case, I would be chayev? Mi amar. In this case, I didn't cause any further aveda. So who's to say that there's a halacha that someone who would be potter because of something which is an aveda midat, therefore, suddenly becomes chayev? That's very difficult to believe.
It's only because the family took it from the kid and then filled it up and gave it back to the kid.
So therefore, in the beginning of the Mishnah, we include the Tzluchit and the Machloket because he took it to be Modet. In the conclusion of the Mishnah, where he didn't take it, he was Madad L'Tocha, instead of being Madad with it, there everybody agrees that he's Potter. Because there, in Achinami, it's an Aveda Midat. So now, basically what's happened over here is, I took your Punyan. If I hadn't taken your Punyan, and I would have said, you know what, kid, keep the punyan, and I'll bill your father. Then I wouldn't have been chayav for the punyan either, because that was the aveda midat. I didn't do anything. So the only problem that I have is that I thought that I could take advantage of the kid. So whatever I took advantage of, so then I'm going to be chayav. If I took advantage of the aveda midat, I become chayav in the ashrav of the aveda midat, or at least that's the machloket. Or maybe the father meant to say, that's okay. That's good for the machlokas. But in a case where I never touched it, obviously it's an aveda midat. Why would I be responsible? The problem with this pshat is, once again, we don't have a makor for being chayev in something unless you were gerim it to become a greater aveda than it previously was. So we really don't have a makor for what we're claiming. Now, obviously, we could have asked exactly the same kasha that we asked a moment ago on Shmuel. And we could have, says Rashbam, we could have said, I understand, so you're telling me that this mimer of Rabba about Ikisha Netchayev is really Machlokas to Tanakama and reviewed in our Mishnah. Does that make sense? We could have said, Lema the Rabba Tanoyi, the same way he said Shmuel. Lema Shmuel Tanoyi. So Lechora, this is not going to help us anyway. It's just that we asked even a better kasha. It has no application, which Lamai says, Matar, it's the other problem. Because this is not the case that the Mishnah would have been talking about. It's not talking about Rabba's case. Therefore, we're going to need to find another solution. If it's nitmalei tamidah, then it's a lokeach. Im haya sarsur b'nehem. So then, nishbara chavit, nishbara la sarsur. Now, in general, chayav latif lo shalosh tipin, and then hirkina umitzit, at that point, harei shamocher. But a chenvani eno chayav even to be metiv shalosh tipin. Reb Yudah omer, erev Shabbat im chashecha, patur. Now, the mida belongs exactly to mine. I mean, ilam mida lokeach. So then, how can you say, ad shalonit balet mida goes to the mocher? How the heck could it go to the mocher if the brayta said that in the middle of the lokeach goes to the lokeach? Ela, it's talking about the mida of the mocher. So then, why mishin itmal eta mida goes to the lokeach? I thought you said it's the midah of the mocher. Omer Abiloi, it's the midah of a third party, a sarsur. How could that be? Midiktadi seifa imaya sarsur b'nehem, nishbara chavit nishbara le sarsur, mechlal de reisha lav be sarsur askina. Said Rabbi Eloi, the reisha is talking about the midah without the sarsur. The seifa is where the sarsur atzmo is the one taking delivery and pouring it out. Now to the next party. Hirkina, says the Mishnah, umitzit arei shamocher. Now what happened was, Rebbe Lozer, when he went up to Eretz Yisrael, ashkechei lezeiri, and he asked him, mi kan tana datnaya rav midot. So he pointed zeiri to Rav Yitzchak bar Avidimi. He went over to him, omalei, what exactly, maika kasha lecha? Oh, the Mishnah, the tana hirkina umitzit arei shamocher, which implies that the original amount wasn't included in the transaction. But a tanan irkinau mitzav truma from one barrel to another, harezu truma. Omar le, that's because itmar lo amr Rabbi Abohu, amr Rabbi Yochanan, it's mishum yush ba'alim naguba. Not because it wasn't a transaction, but because I don't want to sit around to have things drip, which of course doesn't have any application to truma whatsoever. Hachen v'niyeno chayav latif, comes on Rabbi Yudah and says, erev shabbatim chashecha, meaning what? Rabbi Yudah ibaylo, Rabbi Yudah reishakoy, in which case it's a kula that anybody is potter. Odima seifakoy, in which case a chumra, because only erev Shabbos is he potter. Toshmata tani Rabbi Yudah imer, erev shabbatim chashecha, hachen v'ni potur, v'pnei shachen v'ni tarud. Hashaleich et benoy tzelach en v'ni, obviously talking about where pundyon biyado. Umadat lo bi isar shemen, and he gave him change. Natan lo et isar. The kid goes home and he shavar et atzluchit on the way. Avadet isar. The chenveni is chayef at all mess. Rabbi Yehuda poter shamanat ken sholcho. Modim chachamim lo Rabbi Yehuda. Bizman shatzluchit biyad atinok, and the chenveni never took it. And all he did was madad chenveni latocha. That then the chenveni is patur. So now bishleim et isar. The shemen, the machlokus is clear. Rabbanan savre luudue shadre, Rabbi Yehuda savre l'shadre l'shadre. But the part about the tzluchit, I mean, if you send a tzluchit, and the storekeeper isn't using it, so it's tamen aveda midah. Omer avoshaya, acha bebal abayit mocher tzluchiyot askina. And therefore, what happened is over here, that the Chenveni, meanwhile, looked over the sample glass to decide if he wants to buy it. Amanat levokra, and then the Allah is referring to his Kiddush Shmuel. The Omer Shmuel, Anotel Klim in Aoman, Amanat levokra, v'ne'enaz bi'ado chayav. This is a great way to sell your wares. Give it to a kid to bring it to the Chenveni, and while he's at it, he'll look at it. Says the Gemara, but then that would mean, Leimin Shmuel Tanoyi. Elo Rabbi Rav Yosef Tamri Tarvayu, Hocha Bechenveni Mocher Tzluchiyot Askinan, V'oz de Rav Yudah L'taymei V'rabbanu L'tamayu. So it's very simple. No. Iyachi Ema Seifa, Modim Chachomil Rav Yudah Bezman Sha Tzluchit B'yad HaTinov, Umadad HaChenveni L'tocha Sha Chenveni Patur. Why in the world would they be Moda? Amrit L'udui Shadre. He had no right to do that. So in what sense is it the father's responsibility? Ela Abaya Baravin, Reb Chanina Baravin, Dharma Tavayachu, Mayaskinan, Kegon Shinat Lala Mudba. And once you picked it up, even though it's an Aveda Midas, which was your Kasha, how the Tzluchis, how can he be Chayiv, it's Aveda Midas? The same reason that a Zakein that's Mekish is Bechayiv. The Omar Rabbah Hikisha, Nitchayevba. Now wait a minute, Emer the Omar Rabbah, is only Mabale Chayim. That's because Anketinu Nigra Brayata. He's going to be driven out of town. But where did he ever say that just picking it up is Machayev? Ki Agavna, Mi Omar.